Well, I want you to look, if you would, at Luke chapter number 7. Enough of that. Luke chapter 7, we're going to look at verse number 29, Luke 7, 29. As you find your place there in Luke chapter 7, I did hear this story about this fella that he had come in to meet the pastor. He wanted to talk to the pastor at this Baptist church, and he went in and he talked to him. He said, listen, I've got a job I'd like for you to do. He said, okay, what's that? He said, I'd like for you to have the funeral for my dog. He said, God, I don't think I've ever done that. And he said, well, I want you to. I'd love for you to. He said, I don't want it to be a small thing. I want it to be full-blown. I want it to be pallbearers for the little dog. I want it to be songs. I want everything. And he said, I just don't think. He said, well, I'll invite the whole church. He said, I just don't feel comfortable. I don't think I could do that. And the guy said, well, okay, that's fine if you can't. But somebody's going to do it. I'm going to go down to the church down the road, and I'm going to ask them. And he was leaving. He said, well, it is a real shame. He said, I know you're in this building program, and I was going to give a large $50,000 donation to the building program. The pastor stood up and said, oh, why didn't you mention he was a Baptist dog? So if anybody wants to talk to me after service about any needs you have, you be sure to let me know. We're going to have to build something around here one of these days, so we'll get that building fund propped up there. In verse 29 of chapter 7, Luke, the Bible says, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another, saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, but ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. I want to preach for a little while about this. Are you looking for truth? Because Jesus says that these people, listed up in verse number 30, that they rejected the counsel of God against themselves, and they were not baptized of John. They didn't want to buy into what was being said there. Many people use the saying that I can't win for losing, meaning that I can't get ahead. I can't win because losing gets in the way too much. I just can't win for losing because losing keeps putting it in. If you're of an older generation, you remember, maybe you might remember that show Hee Haw. It says, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And when you say, well, I can't win for losing, it's a similar thing to what Jesus is saying here about these folks that are rejecting the message of Jesus Christ and rejecting the message. He says, John came in. He was a very strange person. He was not involved in much of the stuff. He certainly didn't have any fashion sense in accordance to the world. He didn't have any of that stuff. And you call him, he's possessed. You call him, it's just a devil. He's got possession. And you call him that. And then Jesus comes in and he does fellowship with his disciples, and he breaks bread with them, and he eats with them, and he even performs miracles and gives more food to everybody. And then people call him names as well. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, you wouldn't like it that way, and you wouldn't like it that way. And almost feel like Christ could have went on and said, there's several other ways. You wouldn't have liked it that way either. But Jesus tells the crowd that John came in one fashion and he himself came in another fashion, and the people rejected both of them. I want to preach for a little while about this and look at what the Scripture says about us looking for the truth. Because truly, if you look in verse number 29 and verse number 30, we see the two groups of people, and the people that heard him and the publicans justified God. Now, of course, God didn't need justified as if he needed to be made righteous. But what that means is they determined he was justified. He was declared to be righteous. Basically, what they're saying is, yes, that God is right. And you know, when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, basically that's what they are saying. They're saying, he's right, I'm wrong, he's the Savior, I'm the sinner, I'm the one on the wrong path, I'm the one on the way to hell, I'm the one that's going to that eternal separation, but God's the justified one, he's the one that can save, and I turn to him. That's what the salvation basically is turning to Jesus Christ. And what Jesus says here Our Word of God says that all of those people, many of them, they turned and justified God. But then there's a verse, or the folks in verse number 30, they rejected him, the Bible says. The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected. That means they opposed him. And they said, no, not for us. I think about this could be in a situation like right here we have. Somebody possibly sitting here today, and you know about Jesus Christ, and you know that he came to this earth, and you do have every intention of one of these days taking Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're going to get it all right. You're going to get right with God. You're going to get it all settled, but one day, not this day. My friend, can I tell you that one of these days will be the last time, and this very well could be, and if you have good intentions, you say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to receive Christ. I'm going to repent and turn to Jesus Christ for the salvation of my sins, but I'm not going to do it today, although you're not rejecting forever, you're rejecting for now, and if death comes before you change that position, before you receive Christ, then my friend, you'll be eternally separated from God. And so we have these two people, some believe and some reject. Donald Barnhouse was a pastor in Philadelphia years and years ago. He led a man to Christ during the First World War. And as he was ministering to soldiers, this man came and he said, I'm saved. And he had already had a good testimony with some of his fellow soldiers there. And he says, I've told them, but he says, I'm worried about when I get home. What he was going home to was a very prominent American family. And he says, I'm afraid the people who I partied with and live with won't accept the new me. And he says, I'm afraid of not standing right. He says, I tell you what you do. He said, if you'll just make it clear that you've received Christ as your Savior, you won't have to worry about separating from your friends. Your friends will separate from you oftentimes. And that man took that advice from that old preacher. He says, all right, I'm going to tell the first 10 of my friends when I see him that I got saved. The first one was at the train station when he got to his home there. And he got to the train station, a girl, he had dated a little bit, but not seriously, but certainly ran in the same circles. And she said, oh, it's so good to see you. And he said, the best thing in the world happened to me. And she said, oh, did you meet somebody? Did you get engaged? Are you going to be married? He says, no, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. A blank look came over her face. And she said, oh, okay. And then she quickly made her exit and he went on. Well, he said, there's one. And he went, just not longer, later that day, but not at the train station. He ran into a buddy that he was very close with. They ran around a lot. And he says, man, I can't wait. We'll get back into the same scene as we've always been in. We're looking forward to it. And he told him the same thing that he told the girl. He said, I got saved. I asked Christ to be my Savior. The same look came over his face as came over the girlfriend that he had had before. And he quickly made his exit. He said, well, there's two. And he said then it was a couple, a married couple that he was associated with. Those were the next ones. And he finally made his 10, and he found out it to be true, exactly what that preacher had said. He didn't have to tell his friends, I'm not living that life anymore. Many of his friends didn't even ask him to go do things because of his bold stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying this morning that there are people who will always reject, and there will people that will accept. And sometimes we get thinking, because we live in the age in which we live, that nobody will get saved anymore. My friend, not so at all. There are people out there looking for the truth. I'm excited about the fair booth that we'll have at the Appalachian Fair. And if you haven't signed up to help in one of those, oh, my friend, please, if you're able to, take one of those slots. Last year, 90-some people received Jesus Christ as their Savior at the Amazing Grace Fair booth. There are people who God is working on their heart even now. That he'll have walking past that booth. If he tarries his coming, they'll be walking past that booth ready for one of us to give them the gospel. But I'm saying this morning in verse 29 and 30 that some accept and some reject what God is doing. But I want you to look at verse number 32 and 33. This is really the gist of what I feel like I want to tell you this morning. Jesus says they're like the children, these people that this generation, they're like the children in the marketplace playing games. And the games that they're playing is, one of them says, all right, we're having a party. We're going to pipe. We're going to play the horns. We're going to have this wonderful music. And these kids all playing, and they're walking around there and say, we're having this party, but you didn't dance. We're having this party, but you didn't get up and hoop and holler. You didn't get up and be excited and says, okay, the children will play a different game. And now we're going to play a funeral game. And a friend of mine I went to Bible college with, I don't know what else he did in his life, but he said I would have play funerals, and I'd have my sister. She was the only real person who I had to play with. And she'd get some of her dolls and all that, and I'd be the funeral preacher up there. I don't know who they buried. I don't know what they did after that. That's as far as I knew about the story. But it says these children, they played like they were a funeral. And you didn't mourn about that. You didn't get sad. You didn't get happy. Nothing bothered you. Nothing seemed to move you. And that's what he's saying about the people of this generation. It says it was like children that they're playing this and it didn't move you. You're playing this and it didn't move you. And we see, though, that people, as it gets down to verse number 33, people will always complain because he says, John the Baptist came swinging in here like a wild man. My words, not the Lord's word. Came swinging in here like a wild man, dressed funny, eating funny, talking funny, doing all these things. You say, he's a demon possessed. And then he says about himself, Jesus says, and I came in and fellowship with my disciples, and you call me a gluttonous and a wine bibber. I'm saying this morning that people will always complain, but I want to give you some hope and some help, because I'm afraid that sometimes we do not give our testimony. We do not speak up for the Lord. We don't say a word, good word for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're worried that we won't do it right. But can I just tell you this? Whether you do it, however you do it, there will always be people who complain. And so if Satan is keeping you from sharing your faith, Satan is keeping you from giving a word for the Lord sometime somewhere in your business or in your practice or whatever it is, and you're doing that because I may stumble on something and I may not know how to answer it right when they ask me. From time to time, people say, Pastor, I would talk to some people about the Lord, but I'm afraid they'll give me a question that I can't answer. What do you do? I say, well, do what I do. He said, what's that? And I said, somebody will come and they'll say, well, what about all that stuff in Revelation and some of this stuff? I don't know about this. And what about this? And is that China going to come down? Is that the bear? Is that this? And I say, tell them what I tell them. And they say, what's that? I don't know. But let me go back to the clear black and white of Scripture that you can't, sometimes red and white of Scripture, that you can't make any mistake about what it's saying. I'll be the first to tell you, there's some things I got a pretty good idea of how it's all going to play out, but there are some things I don't have a good idea. I've got a hard and fast, conclusive idea because it says it in black and white how it's going to turn out. And so I'm saying this morning that sometimes Satan will keep us from sharing our faith, will keep us from speaking up for the Lord, will keep us from telling somebody what they need to know because we're afraid that we might offend them and we might push them off the other way. But I can tell you this, that people will always complain. They will always say, sometimes we're afraid, I don't want to be too churchy. I don't want to tell them all this religious jargon. I don't want to tell them these things because I don't want to push them off. My friend, if you can push them off, you probably are going to, because if you don't say something, they'll complain. If you do say something, you'll complain. There are people that come to church every Sunday and they'll say things like this church and any others. They'll say things, man, that pastor, he needs to lighten up a little bit. He's too serious. And then they'll talk to the other pastor and they say, man, he needs to get a life. He needs to take a break. He needs to do this, or he needs to do that. Or the other one that's too funny says, man, he needs to get serious. Or the one that's too serious says, man, he needs to lighten up a little bit and tell a few stories. Somebody says, man, he's too long. I got bored with that. I went too far, like Pharaoh. He wouldn't let God's people go. Some people say the preacher preaches too long. The other one says, man, he needed to develop that more. He needed to preach longer in that. Somebody says he uses too many stories and he won't just get to the text. The other person says, man, sure be nice if he'd tell some stories to help open that up. Charles Spurgeon, the old Prince of Preachers, said that illustrations are like windows to let the light in on the truth that's there. And everybody has got a complaint if you're not careful. We're all that way. I'm saying this morning that people always, we will have them complain, but do not let that be something that keeps you from sharing the Word of God. Do you see how Satan wins? When he gets us convinced that we may do it wrong, we may put this in, we may put that in, but the biggest mistake we can make is not sharing. The truth is that many people aren't looking for the truth. Instead, they're looking for a way just to justify their position. See if this isn't true. Haven't you oftentimes asked somebody a question, but the only thing you wanted to know by asking the question is how your position was right and how theirs was wrong? You weren't looking for information. You weren't really looking for clarification. You were just looking for, you were just looking to be made right. And these people will always complain. He says about John the Baptist, he came in one fashion and I came in another fashion, and neither one of them did any good. And so while we sit here and we go out through our week, and sometimes Satan keeps us from sharing our faith, keeps us from speaking up for the Lord, keeps us from telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe we are afraid to bow our heads and pray in our break room at work because, well, I don't want to seem like a holy roller. My friend, if somebody's going to get offended, they're going to get offended. I'm not saying you shouldn't, you certainly shouldn't be obnoxious in whatever you do, but you should be sincere and you should be fervent in your faith. Many people are just looking for something to complain about, not looking for the truth. But I want to give you this last one. Look at verse number 35. But wisdom is justified, meaning that it's shown pure, it's declared right, it's justified. But wisdom is justified of all of her children. I'll give you this last one if you want to take a note, and that is that truth will be found by those that are seeking. Truth will be found by those that are looking for it. You've heard it said that the truth will come out, and my friend, the truth will come out. But sometimes we think about, well, what if the people that are looking will find the truth? There was a brilliant French mathematician in the days of Napoleon. His name was Pierre Laplace. And he brought to him a lot of writings about the origins of the world and how the universe operated. And his conclusion was, or not conclusion, his premise was that it operated without God. Napoleon's an interesting person and grew up some being Catholic doctrine and indoctrinated with that. Moved away from that, but in some later writings and different things indicated a belief in God. But whether he did or not, whether he believed him or not, he certainly believed that there was a God. He asked this mathematician, and he said, well, what about God? And this brilliant mathematician answered this, I have no need of that hypothesis. What was he saying? He said, I'm explaining it without that. I don't even need to consider that. And so sometimes the people that we're worried about offending, that we're worried about making them uncomfortable, they're not going to consider your God anyway. You're worried and trying to soft pedal some things, and I am sometimes as well. We're worried about making it palatable to them, but instead they're not even considering your God at all. They're not looking for truth. They're looking to be justified right. They're looking to be made right without your God. But the scripture says in that last verse, wisdom is justified, meaning that it's shown pure. It's shown true of all of her children, meaning the truth will come out. And the truth about the truth is this. Excuse me. The truth about the truth is that many people aren't looking for that truth. They're just looking for a way to prove their idea. And if you answer A, they'll condemn you. If you answer B, they'll condemn you. And so, my friend, you better not be answering. We better not be answering based on what this person, that person, or the other person thinks. We should be living our lives and answering our questions based on what the Lord thinks and knows about us. A preacher went to Africa years ago, and he went to many years ago, and went to this tribe. As far as they knew, was no gospel ever taken there. And when you go to an area like that, if you're going to give the gospel, you have to go all the way back to God creating the world. And so he's taking them all the way back. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, all the way back to Genesis, and tries to quickly build up and bring them to the fact that that God that created the world had a son. He sent his son to this earth to die on the cross for our sins and tried to teach the gospel message. One of the leaders of that tribe that was there, he told this preacher, he said, I knew it must be something like that. So through an interpreter back and forth, he asked, what do you mean? He said, I knew it must be something like that. He said, because I've climbed the highest tree on the highest hill anywhere in travel distance, looking, because I knew that there had to be somebody up there bigger, better, badder, nicer, stronger than us. That man was looking for the truth. That tribe was looking for the truth. He said, well, what if that preacher hadn't come by? Well, that preacher did come by. And as they were seeking for God, God was sending them the answer. In Jeremiah 29, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Now, I've made many decisions in life just like you have, and there's been a lot of those decisions that as it got put onto me, I said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." And then I did what you do. I went to pray. I went to prayer. I went to asking other people. I had their advice and then their prayer help and all that. But here's one thing that time and time and time again I've said to myself, I don't know what the answer is, but I firmly believe by the time the answer is required, God will show me what to do. And God has never let us down. I don't know right now some answers to some questions that we need to do around here at the church and next steps to help the ministry. I don't yet know what needs to be done, but I have full confidence that God is going to let us know before we need to know. It may not always be when I want to know. How many of you understand God's timetable isn't always your timetable? How many of you felt like, be honest, you felt like God was a little behind a time or two? Yeah, but He never is. And so we see this promise that truth will be found, that wisdom will be found. He says He'll give it to us as we seek Him. If you're looking for truth and wisdom in a situation, my friend, you will find it. So here's the truth of this. This group of people were willing to cast off the teachings of Jesus Christ. They were also willing to cast off the teachings of John the Baptist. But let's go a step further. If God had somehow sent us back in time to there, they would have cast off our teaching as well. Because some people aren't looking for the truth. Instead, they're looking for them to be made right. And if they were seeking the truth, then God would have revealed it to them. And they could have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man gave testimony of being in a service. And the pastor, the preacher, he wasn't a pastor. He really wasn't much of a preacher. He was a preacher boy, young student. He got up for a few moments and stuttered and stammered. But he did give the word, stuttered and stammered. And there was a fellow that gave testimony after that fact that he went forward and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that preacher boy was so shocked. That's what you're supposed to be preaching for. But he was shocked because he knew how pitiful his efforts were. But it wasn't his efforts that did it. It wasn't his ability that did it. And if you're ever speaking to somebody about the Lord, it won't be your oratory skills. It certainly won't be the preaching skills of me or anybody else that comes to this pulpit. It won't be the fact that, wow, I had all the answers for the questions they were going to ask. If somebody gets saved, it'll be because of the work of the Lord in their heart, the Spirit of God convicts them and draws them and saves them. And my friend, I'm saying to you this, that truth will be found by those who seek it, those who look for it. Wisdom is justified, meaning it's shown true of all of her children. So if you came this morning looking for mistakes, you'll find them. If you came this morning looking for missteps and you came this morning looking for flub-ups or whatever you call them, you'll find them. I go home on many different occasions and the girls will tell me, say, "Dad, you did it again." I did what again? Well, you create a new word. Sometimes they say that the English language is the hardest to master. That's why I'm not learning any others. I've got this one done. I don't want to go to any others. But sometimes you'll search for a word and just insert one that sounds like it. But usually I'll grab a little bit from this word, a little bit from that word, and you pull them together. And no English teacher likes it, but it just seems to fit for the time. And so they'll say, "You did it again." Well, if you came looking for mistakes, you'll find them. You came looking for, I don't think you did, but if you came next week and you're looking for mistakes, you'll find them. But if you came looking for the Lord to be working in your heart, I believe He'll do that as well. If you came looking to be a blessing and came looking to be blessed, and you came looking for the Lord, you came seeking God, you came searching for Him with all of your heart, as it says in the book of Jeremiah, if you came looking for that, then my friend, you will find that as well. And so truth will certainly, the Bible says, wisdom is justified of all of her children, meaning that we can see those things. And in that day, just like this day, some accept and some reject. But I wanted to give us a little bit of bolstering this morning. I believe that Satan jumps up on our shoulder and tells us because we don't know enough about the Bible, or we don't know enough about prophecy, or we don't know enough about all the answers to the questions that somebody might have, we've allowed ourselves to clamp down and not say anything about the Lord in those positions and those conditions. My friend, if that person is looking for the Lord, you don't need to have all the answers. You just tell them what you do know. And if that person is just looking to argue and looking to be hateful and argumentative, wouldn't matter if you knew all that three doctors in divinity knew. You still couldn't convince them, because you understand this is not a convincing game. This is a spiritual game. This is not a by fact game. This is a by faith game. And if that person isn't willing to trust the Lord by faith, and he or she's not going to trust the Lord because you convinced them through your great intellect. So this morning, I ask you, are you looking for the truth? Maybe you came in here this morning and you really are looking for God. You're looking for this, you're looking for Christ. You want to be saved. My friend, isn't it time that you just push out all of those objections and all of those worries and fears, and you just put yourself in the place where you turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I pray that today is that day that you do that. And then if you're here this morning, you are saved. That's the other group that's in here. And my friend, you've found yourself too inhibited about sharing your faith, speaking up for the Lord, praying when you go out with your family in public, or just sharing with a coworker. This is what God did. You say, well, we're not allowed to say it. I understand you can't preach most of the times at the place you work, but they can't keep you from saying, well, I had a real answer to prayer. God's doing this. Or if somebody's having a difficult time and you're saying, would you mind if I pray for you? That's not going to get shot down. My friend, sometimes we hold back from saying those things because we don't want to seem too churchy. We don't want to seem too religious. We don't want to be a fanatic of some sort. My friend, please don't buy into the excuse, well, we're going to turn them away. Jesus said, John came, he was living this way. They said he's a demoniac. Jesus came in a different fashion, says he's a gluttonous and a wine bibber. So that old saying that I started off with, you can't win for losing. Some people, they won't accept the truth because they want to keep on believing what they already believe. But you and I had very little to do with it. So what my suggestion to everybody is, that we speak up for the Lord, we step up for Christ, and we share out with Him, for Him rather, in the people that we're around. Don't buy into the lie of the devil that, wow, I'm going to push somebody away. Probably not. Be faithful to stand for Him. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank you for the time to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for the truth here in the scriptures. The Lord of John the Baptist, he couldn't win some people. Jesus, people wouldn't follow you oftentimes. So Lord, that makes us realize that it's not our inability that's keeping people from coming. It's not that we're doing it wrong. It's that some people just won't accept the truth. But Lord, there's a lot of people who will. Just like the scripture said in verse number 29, there's people that came in the truth that would accept, and that's true today. Lord, help us to be those ones that share, speak up, stand up, tell others. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? And as they play, I invite you to come. Maybe you're that one that you've been planning, intending to come to Jesus Christ, but you just weren't planning to do it right now. You're going to get some other things straightened up. You're going to do some things first, and then you're going to. My friend, you may procrastinate until it's eternally too late. Wouldn't you come to Jesus Christ today? Brother Daniel's right down here in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. On your way, would you come? Maybe you're here and you need to be baptized. You know Christ is your Savior and you want to follow Him in baptism. We're getting ready to see somebody follow Christ in believer's baptism here in just a moment. You'd like to join them. My friend, step on out. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God's already moved upon your heart. You feel led to come and you want to present yourself for membership. Would you step on out? Whatever the Lord's doing in your life, let's not stifle what He's doing, and let's not throw water on that. Instead, let's accept it and say, Lord, thank you. as they continue to play, if God's dealing with your heart, speaking to you, let's not leave this place without doing business with the Holy God. Maybe there's something in your life right now you're thinking of. You've held back. You were standoffish. You didn't speak up for the Lord. Afraid you do it wrong. I'm afraid the greatest wrong we can do is not doing it. Maybe God's birthed an idea in your heart. Somebody's going to sign up on that fair booth back there and say, I can tell people about Jesus. If you'll give me a little instruction, Brother Daniel, I'll do it. He will, and you can. As they continue to play, you seek the Lord.
Amen. You can look this way and you can be seated if you've got just a few minutes, just a little bit before 12. We're going to have a baptism here in just a few moments. We're excited about that. And we're excited about this one that will follow the Lord and Believer's Baptism, called in just a few weeks ago and knew he needed to get baptized. And so we are glad to be able to provide that need. And so we're looking forward to that in just a few moments. But as they get ready here in a minute, if we need to give them a little bit more time, we'll sing a song, Trust and Obey. It's 391 in your hymn books. But before we sing that, I do want to make just a couple announcements. We didn't do these earlier. We saved them for now. If you are part of the Oasis group, you will meet this Tuesday. And so this is the first Tuesday of the month. And so come on out for that on Tuesday morning and have a great time fellowship together. And then, guys, if you are a golfer or you know a golfer and you think they'd be interested in our golf tournament, then you stop by. There's some information on that sign-up table in the back. And for our men's golf tournament on August the 16th, it's a great time of fellowship, and anybody's welcome to come out for that. And so if you know somebody who'd like to sign up with them, or if you can't but they can, then just get them the information that they need. And then also on that table are the fair booth signups the pastor mentioned just a moment ago, and we've still got some open slots on those. And that is a great opportunity for us as a church family to reach out into our community and those that are going to come this way. And some might not live in this area, but they're going to come by, and we can try to share the gospel with them. We can try to invite them out to church if they live in this area. So we've got a couple different booths. Our church puts one on, and then the Amazing Grace booth, and you can sign up on those. If you have any questions about those, I'll be out in the lobby at the end of the service. You could stop me, ask me those questions, get your name on that list, and we'll have get some information in your hands moving forward. But we're looking forward to that, and so trust that you'll be able to get signed up for that if that's something that would work for you. So we about ready? All right.
Well, it's exciting. You know, Tyler Young, accepted Christ when he was a young person, but had not followed Christ in baptism. Brother Daniel had talked with him some time back, and they've been working back and forth. And it's exciting when somebody's faith is so real to them that they want to follow Christ in what he's commanded. So baptism is not salvation. Baptism is the first step of obedience after a person's saved, but it is a command that God gives us in Scripture that we're supposed to be baptized in the likeness of His death. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that we get to observe, and I'm so thankful for Tyler. Tyler, come on down. He's saved, knows the Lord as his Savior, and Tyler, in obedience to the divine command of Jesus, and because of your profession of faith, I baptize you, either way, right here. My brother, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Hold your nose. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. All God's people said, amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. And it's a wonderful joy to see people be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank you, Brother Daniel, for working those things out and getting it lined up. And what a joy as a church family to get to see this. If you're our guest today, thank you so much for being with us. And if you wouldn't mind to stop at guest services, that's that counter out there. They've got a gift for you just for being our guest. And there's a connect card you could have filled out there. But it is a privilege to have you here. But to everyone else, thank you so much for being in your place. Brother Travis Steeles, it's great to see you back there. Why don't you come on up and dismiss us in prayer? Do you mind doing that? Might as well put you on the spot, right? So, it's so good to have him and up from Florida visiting his family for just a little while. And he is always a blessing. He and his family are here. And we'll have him dismiss us in prayer. So good to have him at Buffalo Ridge.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for how good you've been to every single one of us. Lord, I pray you would help us to be a little brighter, to draw a little closer to you, and be a light in this dark world, Lord, that we live in as we go throughout the rest of the week. Please keep us safe, Lord. Bring us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.